The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is a 4-CD set of all the hymns, ballads, and chants composed and authored by Martin Luther. It's titled Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Listen to A Mighty Fortress, From Heaven Above, Dear Christians One and All Rejoice, and 36 other recordings in Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It is Monday, October the 15th. We'll turn our attention to a couple things domestic and then to church-state issues in Germany. We often describe abortion as a social issue. Sometimes we'll talk about it as a social moral issue, and that's a convenient term for classifying this issue that has more than just political ramifications, although a lot of people still just view abortion as another issue of politics. Our guest, Dr. Uwe Simonetto, doesn't like us calling it a social issue. There are probably good reasons for that. He's a regular guest and international journalist and founder of the League of Faithful Masks. Dr. Simonetto, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Uwe, why do you object, at least mildly, to referring to abortion in the American context as a social issue?
Because it means trivializing evil. Social issue, to me, in my old-fashioned way of thinking, is whether you wear black tie or white tie to a ball. Or social issue is, on another level, whether you get 4 or 5 weeks annual vacation time. That's a social issue. Maybe you can call affirmative action a social issue. Here, we're dealing with the question of destruction of human life. So if you call that a social issue, then the destruction of 6 million Jews in Germany and of all Down syndrome children in Germany and et cetera, under Hitler was a social issue. So we needn't be concerned all that much.
Now, you cite especially the Republican Party for going along with this trivialization. What do you mean by that?
Yes, I do, because, I mean, the Republican Party would have a very, very significant topic to discuss here, especially in the light of those people, those segments of the population who might actually sympathize with Republican ideals, such as, for example, the Hispanics. If you tell them, listen, we are the ones who are defending the right to life, that is fine. But if you say, well, this is just a social issue, then why should the Hispanics, who have not been treated very courteously in this country, I don't think, at least if I look around here, would say, well, what's the difference? So, I mean, one bunch of people want to kill them all off and make abortion actually part of the platform, which is really making evil part of a party platform. Whereas the others say, well, it's just a social issue, so they don't take it seriously. I do believe that that an issue such as whether 1.2 million human beings may or may not be slaughtered per annum in this country, that a topic like that cannot be trumped by economic issues. Economic issues are issues. This is a huge problem. It is a giant violation of human rights and of natural law, and it should be set precisely in these terms. And I think it was cowardly behavior of the Republican Party, for example, the way they treated Todd Aiken in your neighboring state over in Missouri, where they actually sort of dumped him or shunned him for having misspoken, as if politicians didn't misspeak the whole time, having misspoken on, quote, a social issue. Same thing, by the way, applies slightly to a lesser degree to same-sex marriage. Same-sex marriage is not a social issue. It's a social issue, at least from our perspective as Christians, of orders of creation. But where abortion is concerned, we are talking about life and death issues, about issues of good and evil, and none other. And I think that should be so enunciated.
Now, how would you respond to the pragmatic approach that appears to be that which has been taken not only by the candidates but on both sides, but also much of the electorate? And that is, look, abortion may be a big issue. It may be the most profound moral issue of our day, but economic issues win elections.
Yeah, then you should take the bull by his horns and say, now look, if you feel that way, then those Germans, I do come from a pro-German perspective because I've been haunted by what had happened in my country in World War II. So those Germans who after the war said, well, it wasn't really very nice of Hitler to kill all those Jews, but he did. He did do something for the German economy, and he did introduce Volkswagens, and he did build autobahns. I do not believe there's any blessing and I don't think any success in belittling something of such major importance. And if the Republican Party fears that it might lose yet another unwed woman, a single woman, to the Democrats for tackling this, discussing this properly, as Senator Santorum did, then I think the Republican Party lacks civil courage, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer would call it, and is participating in the evil. I'm really quite adamant about this because we are not talking about something minor here. We're talking about something since Roe v. Wade that took the lives of 55 million human beings who were, at least in a secular sense of the term, innocent people.
Now, you're echoing their concerns that have been raised by, but not largely made public, I guess we should say, by the media, of Bishop Thomas Papraki of Springfield, Illinois, saying a vote for a candidate who promotes actions or behaviors that are intrinsically evil and gravely sinful makes you morally complicit and places the eternal salvation of your soul in serious jeopardy. Those are very harsh pastoral words from the bishop. What do
you
make of
that? Yes, and I would say amen to that. Yes, he is absolutely right, and I believe all faithful Christians, not just Roman Catholics, all faithful Christians should say amen to that. I really congratulate this guy. I think he is absolutely on the nose. And if only the church leadership around the United States and the world, because it's not just an issue in the United States, it's an issue, a worldwide issue, had as much courage as this bishop, we would be a great deal ahead of things. We have to shake them up. Todd, what I find so absolutely baffling, listening as an outsider, because I'm not an American citizen, to the debates here, the discussions about this in the United States, the following. We hear about a war on women. Well, wouldn't it be intelligent to answer very simply, do you really believe that a woman is defined as a woman by the right, by her right, in quotation marks, to destroy her offspring? Is that a valid definition of womanhood? Can you be proud of that? Is that really what a civilized society should look like, where this is happening? Could we not turn this around and say what is happening on the other side is a war on unborn babies? And this would be absolutely true. We're not discussing what I find so troubling about this campaign more than others, and I've covered American campaigns since 1964, since Johnson versus Kennedy, the Goldwater. This is the most untruthful electoral campaign that I have witnessed here because everything is glossed over in sort of politically correct terminology. Just don't offend anybody. Don't speak the truth. As theologians, we have to speak, of course, the absolute truth, but as journalists and observers and commentators, we also have to discuss penultimate truth. And this is a penultimate truth, and we have to be truthful in these things. And this is life and death, and we will all be held accountable, all of us, eventually for the disaster that occurs when a nation as a whole becomes complicit in the genocide of 1.2 million people per annum in this country. Now add to that all the millions of others in Western Europe and where and elsewhere.
You mentioned just a moment ago Dietrich Bonhoeffer's concept of civil courage, and you say you don't see it. And I quote you, you say, "And hence I fear that, to paraphrase Bonhoeffer, a great masquerade of evil will go on playing havoc with all our ethical concepts. Let nobody later say he didn't know." With about a minute or so before we go to our break, what do you mean by that, Uwe?
Right. Well, quite simply this. We all know that these lives that are being destroyed, which is now part of the American the Democratic platform, that this destruction is evil. So let us speak up. And if we speak up, then maybe we shake some dumb-witted people or some sleepy people, wake them up. If we don't do this, we are complicit. And Bonhoeffer, that is what Bonhoeffer said, meant when he spoke of the dearth of civil courage by Germans in the Hitler period.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. He's an international journalist and founder of the League of Faithful Masks. When we come back from this break, we'll turn to the subject of church-state issues in Germany, starting with the story of a pastor and his wife who have found themselves on the wrong end of that relationship. When we come back, we'll take up that subject. Plus, we'll talk a little bit about taxes and attendance, especially among the Roman Catholic in the German state. It's Friday afternoon. I'm sorry, Monday afternoon, October the 15th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. More issues, etc., right after this. Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Welcome back. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest, returning to the subject of church and state relations in Germany. There's a story that you have brought to our attention recently Uwe, about a pastor, a priest in a German church and his wife that kind of explains or highlights some of the problems with the church-state relationship there in that country. What's the story?
Well, the story is this. The background is that by now all German state-related Protestant churches, maybe Württemberg, not, but even the Church of Saxony, which used to be the most orthodox, have decreed that under certain circumstances, same-sex couples may be allowed to inhabit parsonages, okay? In Saxony, which is still, it's in eastern Germany, which is still a large minority of faithful Lutheran Christians, a bunch of people, pastors and church workers, protested against that. And the wife of one pastor near Bautzen, the pastor's name is Gerald Brause, and his wife's name is Ute Brause, and she left the church. She left the state church in protest against it, not because she gave up her faith in Jesus Christ, or indeed wanted to leave the congregation to which she belongs, which her husband pastors to, but because she no longer recognizes the authority of the church government in Dresden. Whereupon her husband was ordered by the Bishop of Saxony to refuse his wife communion. The next thing, this in itself has, of course, caused quite a bit of a stir in Germany, at least in Christian circles. She was also fired from a charitable organization belonging to the church or under the church called Diakonisches Werk. She's lost her job in that. She has lost her right to commune at a Saxon altar because she said a church government that allows something that is anti-scriptural, namely sodomy, in the parsonage, which belongs to the church and which is financed by the church, because she objected to that and left this particular church and no longer recognized it. That is the main story.
So can you explain to us the relationship between the state and the church in Germany? Because there's a story that... I think it came on the occasion of the Catholic Church in Germany requiring the state tax to be paid by members who wished to attend, and they say, "Look, if you're going to attend, you've got to pay the state tax." What's the relationship there that we find so strange here?
Let me quickly a very brief excursion into church history here, or church state history in Germany. In Germany, when the princes of Germany in the 19th century confiscated or expropriated most church properties, farms, forestry, etc., they instituted a church tax for those churches that are under contract with the state, a church tax in order for the church to finance their clergy, their organizations, their structure, their buildings, etc. The church tax, this applies to the Roman Catholic Church throughout Germany, and then to the regional Protestant churches, either Lutheran or Union churches, which have which are under a concordat with the federal government of Germany. Church tax amounts to approximately 9% on top of your regular income tax. So if you say pay $100 a month in income tax, you'd have to pay another $9 on top of that, and those $9 will then be transferred to the coffers of the church. State acts only as an agent here under the contract. This does not apply to the so-called free churches, such as, for example, the Independent Lutheran Church of Germany, which is in communion with the Missouri Synod. This only applies to churches that have a special relationship with the state. Other churches are free to enter a similar arrangement. I mean, even the independent Lutherans could do that, but they prefer not to. That is the business. Now, the Roman Catholics, it's really a question of what is church. The Roman Catholics say if you leave the church because you don't want to pay your church membership, if you'd rather, for example, pay your congregation the equal amount of money because you do not approve of the way the church is run, then you are out of communion with the church. As in the particular case of the Lutheran Church of Saxony, the church now claims that you have severed communion with worldwide Christendom by leaving that particular church. And that is a very, very troubling, and ecclesiologically a very troubling issue, because one really has to sit down and say what actually constitutes the membership in the body of Christ.
So from your perspective, as you look at that, how has communion in the church, communion with the church, been redefined by that church-state relationship?
Well, communion has, at least in the understanding of those people, for example, the Catholic Church leadership right now, all the Lutheran Bishop of Saxony, defined as being a member of a club, of an organization. If you leave the particular club, you are no longer there. It is not defined by faith. It is not defined by your affirmation of, for example, as we have it in the Missouri Synod, of the doctrine of the real presence in the elements of Holy Communion. It is defined by sheer membership. Do you pay your dues? Do you not pay your dues? Do you agree with the policies of the church leadership, or you don't? If you decide that the church leadership follows or implements policies that are contrary to Scripture, which clearly is the case in Saxony with the Lutheran Church, and which you might say is the case in parts of the German Catholic Church, which has become very liberal, quite in contrast to much of the American Church, Catholic Church. Catholic Church in Germany, I mean, many dioceses are actually more closely the Protestant liberal churches than anything else. So if you decide you leave the Catholic Church but still wish to be a Christian and wish to commune, you can't do this because you leave the Catholic Church. And that is troubling. On the other hand, it's very, very difficult. You can argue for or against church tax from two different perspectives, because the church tax has also maintained the church in troubled times, and it still, for example, allows universities in Germany to teach sound theology, and sound theology is being taught again at various German universities, thanks to the fact that you have top-notch theologians who are paid by the state, who because they work for state-owned universities. So it's very the Concordat question has two sides to it.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is an international journalist, and he's founder of the League of Faithful Masks. You can find out more about the League of Faithful Masks under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Uwe, it's always a pleasure, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
When we come back for Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon, we're going to talk about Martin Luther and his alleged anti-Semitism. Pastor Ron Marshall has recently written an article for the latest Logia Journal titled Luther's Alleged Anti-Semitism. And then Dr. Frank Beckwith will join us. Well, most of us probably watched either the debate itself, the vice presidential debate Thursday night last week, or we saw highlights of it. And while probably most of the coverage had to do with the theatrics of the debate, at the very end of the debate, there was one question that was asked, actually a short series of questions on the issue of both candidates' Roman Catholic faith and the issue of abortion. Dr. Frank Beckwith is going to join us in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. to respond to all the answers that were given by both Representative Paul Ryan and Vice President Joe Biden, both Roman Catholics, both giving quite different answers, and in some cases, a little similar answers to issues of abortion, what the Roman Catholic faith did in shaping their views, and what a possible election of a Romney-Ryan ticket would mean for Roe v. Wade. We'll get those answers, and we'll get Dr. Frank Beckwith's analysis of them in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. You can join us in hour two, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Sending out some thank you notes this afternoon to some of our Issues Etc. 300 congregation, just a way of saying thank you for being such a big part of the listener support of Issues Etc. And Issues Etc. 300 congregation supports Issues Etc. in its annual budget every year, and budget time is upon us again. Many congregations beginning a new fiscal year with the new calendar year, and they're making their budget plans now. So if your congregation isn't already part of the Issues Etc. 300, there's a one-page flyer at our website, issuesetc.org, click support, that you can take and print off. It will tell you everything you need to know and your congregation everything they need to know about being part of the Issues Etc. 300, all the benefits that a congregation gets, including those ads that you hear during the break from those individual congregations that are part of the Issues Etc. 300. So get that flyer, issuesetc.org, click support. It's right there. You can download it, print it, and take it to your congregation as they plan for next year's budget and ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. When we come back, Pastor Ron Marshall will join us. We'll talk about Luther and anti-Semitism, and a little bit later, the vice presidential candidates answering the question on abortion and their Catholic faith.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.